morning. My name is Brother Willie Lionel Reed, and I'll be having a scripture for this morning. The scripture will be coming from Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. That is Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And it reads, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. May the Lord bless the hearers and doers of his word."
I'll be there. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 8. "So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." Amen. Once again, good morning. It's a wonderful day for us to be here. God has prescribed that we might be here today to worship him in spirit and in truth. And certainly that is what our hope is for this day. I want to tell you that there's a visitor that comes in every Sunday morning to this congregation. And some people don't really appreciate the fact that she sits beside them, but hopefully today you will appreciate her sitting beside you, and her name is Truth. When she shows up, she makes a lot of people uncomfortable because they have to look at themselves. But in the end, she always gets what God has sent her out to do. Proverbs 23 says, "Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom, instruction, and understanding." So get the truth and hold on to it. Because when she comes in, all those other things that came in before her, they walk out the door. And she'll leave you with something that is a wonderful blessing from God. Only the truth of God is what our lives should be lived around and planned around. Salvation, God's plan, is what the subject is today. And what this is for me is just a basic synopsis of what it is that God has called us to, something that you can use to teach a Bible study, to tell people why you are who you are, and tell people who God is and what his plan for their lives are, as well as for your life. It's the same thing that Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4. He says, "Listen, I want you to watch your life and your doctrine closely." He says, "Persevere in them, for if you do, you'll save both yourselves and the ones that hear you." So I want to save myself this morning, and I want to save those that hear me as well. So we're going to start out with the truth as usual. We're going to stay with the truth as usual. And God is going to give us a blessing as a result of that truth. But I want you to know that today the church is important to man. No matter where you are or where you live, what station in life that you're in, church is important to man. It seems to be their source of security in God. It seems to be that way, but it's really important to man. So much so that people want to do church the way they want to do it. And they want to do it any way they want to do it. And they do it so that the worship to God satisfies themselves and never mind what God thinks. Because church is important. And it's more important than God. I don't have time to follow God today. I got to go to church. And maybe God can come in second to that of church. And Hebrews 8:5 says, "This is why Moses was warned when he was about to build a tabernacle. God said to Moses, I want you to see to it that you make everything according to the pattern shown you on the mountain." This is nothing new. I want you to see to it, Moses. I don't want you to do it your way. I want you to do it according to my plan. See to it, Moses, that you don't deviate from the plan that I gave you and that you build the tabernacle according to the plan, the pattern that I showed you on that mountain. When you think about a plan, everybody's got one. But it's a systematic arrangement worked out beforehand for the accomplishment of a certain objective, something that you're trying to get to. I want to tell you this morning that I believe in God. I do. I believe in God to the fact that I am going to obey God. I believe in God, and not only do I believe in God, I believe in God's word, and that his word is truth, and that that truth sets me free. I believe in God. And I also believe that God works according to his plan, not mine. He works according to his own plan. And God's plan of redemption, it centers in Christ Jesus, God's Son and our Savior. His coming was foretold by the prophets and was according to God's eternal purpose. It was a plan of God. The time of his coming was planned as well. I've got 1,000 scriptures for you this morning. And it's about studying God's word and knowing full well that God has blessed us to come into the knowledge of who he is and that he is willing to save our souls. That's what it's about. Peter said, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Save yourselves. Stop making your own plans and start listening to God. Why not give God a chance sometimes? Galatians 4:4 says that the time of Christ's coming was planned. It says when the fullness of time was come, at just at the right time, God sent forth his son born of a woman made under the law. The intent of Christ's coming was planned as well. John 3:17, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. 1 John 4:14, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. The man of Christ's coming was also planned, church. Isaiah 7:14, the Bible says, that a virgin would conceive and bear a son. Mary, a virgin, was found to be with child before a marriage even to Joseph was consummated. The angel of the Lord explained to Joseph that the child in Mary's womb was conceived of the Holy Spirit. In Matthew 1:18-21, these are the words of God. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ was also planned by God. Peter declared on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2:23 that Jesus was delivered up by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. It was in the mind of God from the very beginning to deliver up his son that he might die for us. That was God's plan. The gospel was also planned as a means of calling people to salvation. 2 Thessalonians 2:14, the Bible says, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. God calls us with a holy calling. He calls us to his own and not to our own. 2 Timothy 1:9, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. God calls us according to his own purpose and his own grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. God called us. We weren't even existent. Didn't even understand what church was or what it was all about. But now we've come on the scene and we want to go to church, not only the way that we want to, we want to do it the way we want to and then leave God out of it. Church is important to man. So important, it's more important than God. Everybody wants to go to church, but they don't want to see God. The gospel call to salvation is according to God's purpose. People use this scripture over and over and over again. They beat you down with it. But do they really understand what God is saying in Romans 8:28? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And we know that all things work together for good to them who are called according to his purpose. It works for your good if you're called according to his plan, not yours. It can't work any other way because there's no other plan at all. But then there, here we come. We want to put in our own human arrangements for salvation. And they've been for years and generations before us. Human arrangements for salvation. Modern preachers offer a variety of plans from which you can choose from. You got a smorgasbord of salvation plans that people will give you. And before we look further at God's plan and what it requires, I want to look at man's plan of the accepted and diverse ways of salvation proposed and preached in our time by men. The first one is what's accepted is what's called the way of one's parents. They urge people to follow in the footsteps of their parents. Because you grew up in that house, you got to go where I went, and you got to do what I did, and you got to pray like I pray. Whatever religion their parents embrace, that's a religion that the children embrace as well. And they assume that just because they embrace that religion, that they're going to be saved. And the only reason that some people have for conforming to a certain scheme or plan is that their mother or father did it, that their grandmother or grandfather did it. They have no other reason for it at all because they assume that they're going to be saved. And don't let them die because everybody's going to heaven when you die. If you believe that one, I got a bridge to sell you to. Just like the brother sang the song this morning. Give me that old-time religion. Everybody wants the old-time religion, but they don't know what it's about. They say, I want it because it was good enough for my mother and my father. It's got to be good enough for me. Give me the old-time religion. Give me the old church, but I don't want nothing to do with God. I don't want his plan. I want to do it the way my mama did it or my daddy did it. I don't want to do it the way that God did it. I want to do it my own way. I want to go to church. It's important to me, but I want to do it the way I want to do it and then include God. People want salvation from a life of moral uprightness. A lot of folks are convinced that if they refrain from fornication, and drunkenness and stealing and murder and lying and all those things that are sinful, that God will some way accept them in that great and last day. Being good is not enough. They expect moral uprightness to somehow compensate for their sins. There is no one good, no, not one. Psalm 14, verse number 3. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that do it good, no, not one. Psalm 53:3, every one of them has gone back. They are all together become filthy. There is none that do it good, no, not one. Romans chapter 3 and verse number 10, you think that good is going to get you salvation? As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not you, not me. We standing up to a righteous God, and we have to answer to God for the things that we've done in this body. There is not one that's righteous. We become righteous in and as Jesus the Christ, God's Son and our Savior. Only in Christ are we validated. We're not good enough. We're not worthy. We are filthy rags before God. But we want all the good that we do, so-called good that we do, our own moral code to get us into heaven. It's not going to work. Some people want salvation because they want to pray through their salvation. These are things that are familiar. It's been going on for years. We want to pray through our salvation. Certain preachers have been known to exhort sinners to pray for their salvation. And people are told to keep on praying. You just keep praying. Don't stop until God answers with the assurance of forgiveness, whatever that is. He's going to answer you, and he's going to give you assurance of forgiveness. Because what they want is their experience to be better felt than told. They want a feeling of salvation. They don't want to hear God's word and be assured that John says that these things are written that you might know you're going to have eternal life. They don't want it written. They want it felt. So let's pray through it. And God will give you that assurance. I don't know what heaven you're going to find yourself in, but it's not the one that God lives in. Some people want to get salvation by inviting Jesus to come into their hearts. Who is one of the famous ones right here? You see, growing up under the influence of the Baptist doctrine and listening to those ever famous and charismatic TV preachers, we heard that to be saved, You need to open up your hearts and invite Jesus to come in. Some people don't even want to let their mothers in their own homes, their fathers in their homes, but you want Jesus to come into your heart? Just invite him to come on in. He put it like this. I remember so well as a little child. Just say, come into my heart, Lord Jesus, come on in. Jesus, just come on into my heart. Then he's going to come in and he's going to save you just like that. And then when he comes in and saves you, after you've asked him to come in, then you ought to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God, for I am saved. And all I had to do was just ask you to come in. I've asked a lot of people to come into my house, but I wouldn't offer them a seat, that's for sure. Get what you need and get on out of here. We do the same thing to God. We're going to ask him to come on into my heart, God. Get what you need. But after you get it, I need you to get out of here, because I'm not about salvation. I'm all about going to church, you see. And I need you to validate that I go to church, God, because I want you to come into my heart so people can know that at least I go to church. And I'm saved. Some people want to have salvation by making a commitment to Christ in a short prayer. A popular way in which denominational preachers are offering salvation. People are encouraged to admit that they're sinners. Oh, yeah, admit it. And confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And pledge to surrender your lives to him. And just like that, what's the word? Voila, just like that, you're saved. Just admit it. Just admit you're a sinner, and that's it, you're saved. Go on about your business and save the world too. Some people want their salvation to be had by praying with faith. Here's one of those that you see in one of those tracks. Lord, I realize that I'm a sinner and that you paid the price for my sin. Please forgive me of my sin and save me. I here now accept Jesus as my Savior. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen. And you know, if it was that easy, you know, Jesus wouldn't have had to come, huh? You could have just asked God, you know, just save me right where I'm at, Lord. I know I'm a sinner. And you don't have to do absolutely nothing except sit on your thumbs and let God do all the work. And once you've committed yourself to Christ in that way, you believe that he's going to do just as he promised. And you know what he's going to do after you say that? He's going to take over your life. Sure, you're going to let him do that. You only have to pray this way and make this commitment one time. It's a once and for all commitment. And sin in your life will be a foregone conclusion from now on up until heaven. If you believe that one. Listen, these examples are typical of today's plan of salvation from the mind of man. According to man's purpose, it's not God's purpose at all for salvation. You remember the phrase, but by me? Remember that? In John 14:6, the only way to the Father is through Christ. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I am. So come on my way. I am. So come and get this truth, because everything else is a lie. Romans 3:4, let God be true and every man become a liar, as it is written. Titus chapter 1 and verse number 2 says, God cannot lie. He's all about truth. So when she comes and sits beside you, I need you to put your arms around her, embrace her, because you can't get salvation any other way except through God's plan. Can't happen. Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven. And every one of us in here today, and the people that are not sitting today, we are all under heaven. There's not anyone under heaven, no other name under heaven given to men whereby which they must be saved. We're not saving dogs and cats. We're not saving giraffes. We're saving the souls of men. And there's no other way under heaven given to us except Jesus Christ, God's Son, our Savior, that's going to save your soul. It's not about your plan. It comes from the mind of God. And if you want your soul to be saved, you're going to follow God's plan and stop playing church. Well, I know it's important to you. It's important to your mother to go. That's why you go. You're not going because God has called you to go. You're going because, you know, my mother would be ashamed of me because I'm not going to church. Let her save your soul then. All who are saved, all the people, Jews and Gentiles alike, are reconciled to God in one body by the cross, Ephesians chapter 2 says. We're reconciled in one body by the cross. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9. For it is by grace that you are saved through faith. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing comes from not my word, not yours, but from the word of God, from God's plans. So it is by grace you are saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, because men want to boast on that. Look, I've saved myself. There's a lot of people who know how to swim really well that have drowned. Amen? Not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation is by grace through faith. That's where it's at, church. We're talking about basic Bible principles here that you need to adapt, that you might be able to teach one, that you might save a soul, a life out there. Titus chapter 2 and verse number 11. God's grace makes salvation available to all of us. And we accept God's offer of salvation through the exercise of faith. Nobody wants to talk about baptism, but baptism is an act of faith. It's not a work of merit or praise. It's an act of faith. And that gift is realized when you're baptized into Christ. Galatians 3, 26 and 27 says, for we're all sons of God through faith. We're sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus, according to his plan. For as many of us as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Let me tell you something. You can go to church all day long. If you haven't been baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, you're just going to a man-made institution, and God, who's a spirit, has nothing to do with it. Because the institution that Christ authorized, the one that he built, is a spiritual kingdom. My kingdom is not of this world. We're talking about the church that Christ purchased with his own blood, Acts chapter 28, verse number 28. That was in the mind of God, not your mind. You can build an $8 million edifice out there and call it a church. You can go in it every Sunday. God is not there. Build a tabernacle, Moses, according to the principle that I have shown you on that mountain. Don't do it the way you want to do it. This is my plan, not yours. Everybody wants to do church. Even Moses didn't do it the way he wanted to do it. He listened to God. Jesus told the apostles to go and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Mark 16, 15 and 16. I want you to notice that Jesus didn't say, he that believeth shall be saved, and then he should be baptized because he's saved. Salvation comes after baptism, not before. You're not going to get the cart before the horse when it comes to God. He that believeth and, here's your conjunction, and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Believe the truth. That's the most difficult thing for people to do, is to believe the truth that comes from God. Every word of God is pure, Proverbs 30. Every word of God is pure for us. Salvation has never come before obedience of God's plan. It's obedience of faith. Not faith in your own obedience of what you want to obey. It's faith in the obedience of God. It's not works, lest any man should boast. And if you want works to somehow participate in your salvation, let your works be your obedience. So when you stand before God on that great and wonderful day, Lord, didn't I obey you? You sure did. Come on in. We're talking about full and total obedience to the truth of God's word. I mean, if you're not going to believe God's word, there's nothing I can say to you. I can't talk. We can't have a conversation at all. We might be able to talk about something around the water cooler. If you're going to open up your Bible and you're not going to believe that what the Bible says is God's word, I can't talk to you because you're not interested in your soul being saved at all. You're interested in just talking philosophy. You're interested in talking Bible. You're interested in just church. You're not interested in God and the truth of his word and his will either. You're not. You might as well come to grips with that reality. There are too many Christians who just play church. And they skim over the scriptures. You know, I read my Bible, 1 Thessalonians 5. I pray without ceasing all the time. You're going to stop playing these games with God. God knows our hearts, doesn't he? And it's the heart that we give to God. And it's the heart that God cleanses. And because of that, we are saved from our sins. We got to stop playing these games. The time is closing in on us. We just talked about that this morning. A few days ago, my daughter was 5 years old. She's 31. That makes me about 32. Listen, on Pentecost, after people had been taught that Jesus is both Lord and Christ, they asked Peter and the other apostles what to do. Peter didn't tell them to admit that they were sinners. He didn't tell them to trust in Jesus or make a commitment in prayer. Peter didn't tell them to invite Jesus to come into their hearts. Peter didn't tell them on the day of Pentecost to follow the religion of their parents. He didn't tell them on the day of Pentecost that moral uprightness, being good, was all you needed. Peter told them in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Every one of you, none of them are going to be left out. Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. There's no other reason for baptism except for the remission of sins. It's written right here. To wash your sins away. Salvation, if you're going to have it, it's got to be God's way. It requires following God's plan. But we find that to be a difficult task at best. People spurn the invitation every time God calls them to accept his word. You sit there on your thumbs and you spurn it, and you allow Satan to keep you in your seat. It's difficult. And God knew it was difficult. That's why he told Moses to build it according to the pattern, Moses. Don't you put your mind into this. Don't you do what you want to do. If I tell you to turn two screws and make it a Phillips screw, I want you to turn two and put a Phillips in there. Well, I don't have a Phillips screw, God. Well, you better wait till you get one. Amen? Don't put nothing else in there except what God has authorized you to put in there. Why do you think people will knock your door down to get grandma's old recipe, right? And that old recipe has got to be just like grandma wrote it. If you put anything in it or take anything out of it, it's not the same thing. Oh, this ain't like grandma's. And they'll tell you that in a heartbeat, right? This ain't nothing like God's. The religion that you out there in the world serving is nothing like God's. I want you to come and taste that God is good. I want you to know that his plan of salvation is for the remission of sins. It's to save your own soul. It's to save your life. Yet we don't want to adapt that. We want to do our own thing. We want to do church our own way. Some people even pull up to the church. When I was a little boy, they had this big movie screen outside. I remember that, boy. And we'd pull up in our car, and we would take the speaker and set it on our window and roll the window up. The speaker would be in the window, and we'd listen to the whole movie and look at it on that big screen. You remember that? Come on now. Remember that? People want to do church like that now. They want to pull up to the building and put the speaker in their car. They don't want to come in and fellowship with God. Fellowship with their brothers and sisters in Christ. Well, I can do it at home. There's evangelicals on the TV screen. Let's just get our communion. We're going to sit in front of the TV in our pajamas. And we're going to go straight to hell. The church is included in God's plan. Why? Because Ephesians 3:10 says that the church is the manifold wisdom of God. The church comes from the mind of God, not the mind of man. According to his eternal purpose, he purposed it in Christ Jesus, our Lord. H.T. Anderson translated that scripture this way. This is what he says. According to the arrangement of the ages, which he established by Christ Jesus our Lord, the church of Christ was not established by man. It was purposed in the mind of God. It originated because of God's eternal plan. It originated because of God's eternal arrangement. It originated because of God's eternal resolve. It originated because of God's eternal will. The church was originated because of God's divine purpose. All things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. And it's because of his purpose that they work together, not because of ours. Jesus is the Savior of the body, Ephesians 5, Ephesians 1. And the body is the church. Look it up. If you know anything about English and writing, speech, you see there's a comma after that word body. It signifies that the body and the church is the same thing. So if he's the Savior of the body, he's the Savior of the church. You can't separate them. You can't separate them. How'd you like somebody to walk up to you and say, you know what? That woman sure isn't a female. Well, what is she then? He said, woman and female is the same thing, isn't it? Yes, the church and the body is the same thing, and God tells you that. Can't separate that. Can't do it. Jesus is the Savior of the body, the church. But some believe that members of distinct denominational bodies are going to be saved as well. I have not found one denominational religion in the Bible yet. If somebody finds one, you come see me. 504-462-1962. Call me. Hadn't seen it yet. Where are you reading the Bible of such a promise of a denominational church? Where do you see it? Where do you see an ecumenical religion? Where do you see it? God's plan does not include that. Jesus is not the Savior of man-made religious bodies, but the body which is the church. And the New Testament plainly teaches us that when men and women are being saved, the Lord adds them to the church. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 47. The Lord adds them to the church. You can't join the church that God built. Can't join it. There isn't some kind of club out there that you can come and join and pay dues. As a matter of fact, if you want to pay dues and tithes to those that's out there in those churches, die without paying your tithes and see what that gets you. They ain't even passing you through the building. Isn't that ridiculous? Because you didn't pad his pocket. He said, oh, don't bring them up in here. I'm not preaching over them. They didn't pay their tithes. What? If you know anything about tithes, you'll find it in Deuteronomy chapter 14, starting in verse number 22, that tithes was never money. Hello. Watch out now. Was never money. So what was it for, Brother Collins? Because we had 12 tribes of Israel. That's what we had. And one of those tribes, the tribes of the Levites, their mission and their job was to take care of the worship service of God. So they didn't have any fields. They didn't have any animals. They didn't have any farms. So the 11 tribes was to give a tenth of everything they had to that tribe so they can eat and live. That's what the tithes was. Can you imagine? He says every tenth thing that passes under the rod belongs to the Lord. Every tenth thing. Okay, listen to me good now. The percentage system wasn't even in effect back then. If it was, let's say that you had 15 chickens. Well, you're going to give 10% of 15 chickens. That means you had to give 1.5 chickens to God. That means one of them was blemished and defective. You didn't want that. If you're going to do it at 10%, right? That's 1.5 chickens. Am I right? God only wanted the one chicken. You give to me things that are without spot and blemish. Give me a perfect sacrifice. And the reason why we're not obeying God's will when it comes to salvation, because we're not giving him of ourselves. Our hearts and our minds are not being transformed. Let me tell you, the church is important to God. It's important enough for the Savior to purchase it with his own blood, Acts 20 and 28. And the word of God clearly states that one Savior is the Savior of that one body, which is the church. Here's how Paul put it to the church of Colossians. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 18, the New Literal Translation says it this way. Christ is also the head of the church, comma, which is his body. New International Version says it this way. And he is the head of the body, comma, the church. Can't separate them. Church is important to God. I know it's important to you as well. But you better go to the one that God called you to. Amen. The one that he purchased with his own blood. The one that he built and said the gates of hell should not prevail against it. Here's what you got to do. Famous phrase of mine. Go to the Bible. If you find your church in it, stay in it. Because it's authorized by God. If you don't see it in the book, take a second look. And ask yourself, are you in this one body that comprised the saved? Are you in a church that, are you in the church that Jesus never promised to build? Are you in a church that Jesus never promised to save? A church that stems from the mind of man and not from God's plan of salvation. The church is the manifold wisdom that comes from the mind of God. So here's the plan. Here's the plan. We must obey Christ. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9 says, Christ is the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Not the apostle, not the bishop, not the reverend, not the doctor of whatever theology. All that obey Christ. For there's no other name under heaven given to men whereby which they must be saved. Jesus Christ, God's Son, is our Savior. Obedience to human plans and human arrangements will not save us. I can't say that any more plain than that. The truth is coming to sit beside you. I need you to embrace her. She's sitting beside you. Obedience to human plans and human arrangements will not save us. So here's the invitation. Acts chapter 5, verses 29 through 32 says these words. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God. You better write this one down. We ought to obey God rather than men. You know, the Baptist church was started in 606 AD. Boniface III was his name, over in Rome. The church that's in the scripture was started in AD 33. In Jerusalem, his name was Jesus Christ, God's Son and our Savior. Which one do you belong to? Which one is it? Can you imagine getting up every Sunday morning going to Rome? Peter said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him had God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to forgive repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. You don't even have the Spirit of God if you don't obey him. So how are you going to know who God is if you don't know his Spirit? And how are you going to know who Christ is if you don't know who God and the Holy Spirit is? You can't. We love church. But we got to have it our own way. And then we include God after. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 2 ought to give you assurance. And that's all I'm trying to do. It ought to give you assurance to know full well that you are in a place that God has called you to. And that you have bought the truth and you're not selling it. And you've got understanding and wisdom and instruction as well. Here's what he says in 2 Timothy 1:12. I know whom I have believed in. Oh, here we go. I know. Listen, I told you from the beginning, I believe in God, and I believe in God's word, and I believe in the truth that comes from God. I know whom I have believed in, and I am convinced that God is able to guard that which I've entrusted unto him until that day. What have I entrusted to God? The salvation of my soul. I can't entrust it to man. When David was running from God because he had just sinned by counting all those men, those soldiers. He found himself at the threshing floor of Araunah. And you know what he said to that angel? He says, listen. He says, do anything that you want to do to me, but please don't put me in the hands of man. We've taken God's church and we put it in the hands of man, and they've turned religion into just what it is, it's religion. Too many people are religious and they're not holy. God makes us holy. He calls us into his presence and he cleanses us up and he makes us whole. He takes away our sins and he calls us into the church, which is the body of Jesus Christ, his son and our savior. And I don't know what it is that's in your mind that you just can't seem to understand the truth of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But whatever it is, I hope that you will get rid of it, all your preconceived notions, and just listen to God only. There's nobody out there, there's no man, no woman who wants to save souls more than God does. And before a tree was planted, before the world began, God called us to be Christians and not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That was the problem with the Jews. He said, well, I can bear them record that they have a zeal for God. But their zeal was not according to knowledge. For instead of accepting the righteousness that comes from God, they went about and established their own righteousness. And that is a righteousness that does not come from God. They were Jews. They were God's people. They were religious people, but they didn't want anything to do with God. We want the church, but we don't want God. We want to tell people, oh, what church you go to? Oh, I go to this church. Or do you serve God? Do you? Got to ask yourself that question. Because salvation is at hand right now, and he tells us to hear his word in John 6:45. It's written in the prophets, and they shall all, not one of us are going to be left, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that had heard and learned of the Father, just like today, you ought to come to him. You ought to be tired of leaning on your own understanding. We got to believe that Jesus is Christ. John 8:24 says these words, truly, truly, I say unto you, unless you believe that I am he, you're going to die in your sins. Belief is an integral part of salvation. If you can't believe, you're not going to live. Amen? You're just not going to live. You got to repent of your sins, Luke 13:3-5. Stop comparing yourself to other people that's out there sinning and not repenting. He says, I tell you the truth, unless you repent, you're going to die just like they did in Siloam. You're going to die as well. Repent of your sins and come to God. Let God be God. And you just be the man that God has called you to be. Be brave enough, have enough courage. Know that the assurance of God comes in and as Jesus Christ to save your soul. Repent of your sins. Let's confess Christ. Romans 10:9-10. Let's confess him. Let's confess Christ. It's a matter of the heart and it's a matter of the mouth. That you receive God as a result of the faith that you have in him. What a wonderful thing faith is. But you got to believe it. You got to be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. In Acts 22:16, Saul, who thought he was doing everything for God, boy, was he ever going to church, huh? Was he ever doing those things that he thought God had called him to do until he met God in Acts 9 and wrote to Damascus? And he says, Lord, Lord, who art thou? I didn't even know who Jesus was, but he was doing things for God, right? He says, I am Jesus whom thou persecuted. I am Jesus. I am. In Acts 22:16, Ananias says, Saul, Saul, why tarriest thou? Arise now and be baptized. For what reason? To wash away your sins. And that's what I'm calling you to do today. Stop playing church. It's all about the salvation that comes from God. Time is getting short. You're not getting any younger. Every day we live, we find ourselves drawing closer and closer to that great and last day that comes. When we hear that trumpet sound, it's going to be too late. Will you receive the God's plan of salvation today? Will you accept the fact that the truth is all that we have? We have nothing else. Nothing else. And those of you who've obeyed the gospel, why are you going back into the beggarly elements that you've walked away from? Repent of your sins and allow God to be the God that he's called you to be. God's plan of salvation is just that. It's his plan and not mine. And if I can invite you to it, why don't you come as we stand and sing his invitation song.